You're listening to a podcast from 702.
All right, time now for your relationship focus. 011-883-0702. Talk all things that have got to do with relationships. Eh? You're thinking of getting back into the dating game after, yeah, maybe somewhat a very difficult separation of having been in a relationship for a long time. You're married, it's a divorce, or maybe you were living together for a very long time. Could certainly be a challenging space. How can people then find love after such a breakup? What are the things that one should be mindful of? And maybe you are in that situation. You've got some questions to us. Please do give us a call, 011-883-0702. You can also send us a WhatsApp on 072-702-1702. When is the right time to start dating after a separation? Yeah? When is the right time? Maybe you've got some thoughts. When is too soon? Sometimes it's too soon. This is not the time, right? But also maybe you're finding yourself having to get back in the dating game. What are some of the challenges that you're finding things that challenge you particularly in getting back into a relationship after a breakup of a long-term relationship? 011-883-0702 or 072-702-1702. I'll gladly take your calls, and yeah, I'm hoping you will be able to share your stories with us and be generous with some of those situations that you're dealing with. But otherwise, if you've got questions as well, we're joined now by Shirley Lewin, counselor and relationship coach, to help us in the conversation. Shirley, good morning. Good to have you on this Friday once again.
Thank you so much. Glad to be back.
Yeah, moving forward is extremely difficult, is it not?
Well, I think that it can be. It can also be really liberating for some people. So it depends on what your previous relationship was like and why it ended. So I think that, you know, you asked some great questions. When is the right time? When is it too soon? And I would say that one really needs to take the time to be reflective and to think about how you contributed to the ending of that relationship. So where did it go wrong? What was the reason that it fell apart? So that you don't repeat those going forward, you know, this whole idea that failure is education. So if it failed, what did it teach you? What did you learn about yourself and about what you could do differently? And then also taking the time to heal and recover from the emotional wounding. So you don't want to go rushing back into a relationship on a rebound, feeling insecure and looking for some external validation and distraction, and then spend the whole date talking about your ex, you know. Yeah. Then you definitely haven't healed.
Yeah. And a number of things come to mind there. For example, what is a rebound and when are you really on a rebound? How do you tell that you're on a rebound?
Well, I think that the idea of a rebound is often because you're... So I'm going to give it to you in this analogy. We have an inner scorecard and an external scorecard. So an inner scorecard is when we feel connected to our personal power and we feel like I'm lovable, I'm worthy, I'm deserving, you know, I'm a good person, I'm a decent person, and you're very connected to that and filling that. An outer scorecard is when you need other people to tell you you're lovable, you're special, you're worthy, you're awesome, and you look for external approval. So if you're going into a rebound or into a relationship with someone and you so desperately want for other people to fill you up, to top up that external scorecard, then your relationship is only going to be great as long as that person's telling you how wonderful you are, okay? And that's when you're not ready for it. That's a rebound versus going into a relationship that you've recovered, you healed, your inner scorecard is good. You know that you're a good person. You can be a great partner to somebody and you're ready to be in a relationship with someone else. So it's almost like one is short term, recreational. It's for short term needs to make me feel good right now. Like I'm going to be with someone to keep me distracted from the pain that I'm feeling because my inner scorecard is low.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does indeed. And I mean, every end of a relationship, I suppose, comes with consequences, right? And what are some of the consequences that come with an end of a relationship? I was watching some conversation actually happening on Twitter, where the suggestion was, the one thing that you need to do is to cut them off immediately, you know, like, cut all connection, block them even on your social media, so that you don't even see their WhatsApp status. And so just cut all forms of connection with that old relationship. Is that part of the consequence that comes with it?
So I think that it's a lot easier to do that if you don't have children with the person.
Yes.
Obviously. And, you know, the benefit in doing that is that you're protecting yourself from potentially hearing about what they're up to, where they're going, what they're doing, who they're doing it with. And that can be a form of taking care of yourself. So you're censoring and limiting your exposure to what your ex is doing, which is great because you don't really want to have them on your radar at all if you're focusing on your own healing and your own well-being. So there's some big benefits to that. But the idea of severing the bond completely can also be not helpful and not serve you in other ways. And that's because, you know, the process of ending, severing a relationship, there might be some unexpressed communication, you know, some questions, some doubts that you still have that in terms of you getting your own closure. So for both of you to find closure and coming to a place of healthy acceptance that this is where we act, we understand, you know, why we got to be in this place, and just being able to be amicable. So I would say that there are times when an amicable ending, where you're weaning yourselves off of each other slowly, and it's not to say you need to be following them on social media, but it doesn't need to be as brutal as the severing. So I think every ending is different depending on the circumstances, to be fair.
Yeah. And quite honestly, I suppose it also varies from relationship to relationship, because there are other people who sometimes break up while they say, I don't know whether as a relationship coach you advise people to do so, when they say, we are still pretty much in love, but it's probably just not working for various reasons. Maybe distance, maybe, you know, some kind of traumatic event happens in your life and you still feel, I still have very strong feelings for this individual, but it's just not working within the relationship. So we'll rather be friends. I mean, do you suggest something like that, that they still keep connection, but does it in any way help you to move on emotionally and be able to get into other relationships?
So I think you've made a very valid point here that you can love somebody very much and recognize that you're not good together in a partnership. You know, not everyone is an ideal sort of marriage material. So I can love somebody and think, you know, you're a precious person, you're a great friend, but actually you're awful in partnership. And not everyone is good in long-term committed relationships. So absolutely, this idea that it's either on completely and 100% or off and then it's zero, I think it's quite extreme. So it does depend on the scenario and the relationship. And I just want to, if I can, say that there are different reasons. My observation is that relationships between two people dissolve or disintegrate and they become disconnected for one of three reasons. It's either a compatibility problem, so there's a lack of compatibility, or intimacy problems and a lack of intimacy, or partnership and partnering skills and a lack of that. So just because someone is, you can be compatible with someone, you're a good, you know, a good friendship and a good match, but they're not able or willing or comfortable to be vulnerable and to they're not good at the intimacy part. So that would mean that you enjoy and appreciate who they are as a friend, but the intimacy is terrible and they're not ever willing to have to put themselves in a situation where they completely reveal who they are and expose themselves. So the relationship doesn't work for those reasons. And so it's not as simple as all on or all off.
We have with us Shirley Lewin. She is a counselor and relationship coach. And I'm hoping, trusting that you will take advantage of this opportunity and to reach out to us as well. Engage with Shirley a little bit around some advice. Maybe you are divorced, broken up from a long-term relationship. What are the challenges that you are faced with in finding love again? Give us a shout. 011-883-0702, 0727021702. You can send your WhatsApp voice notes, if you like, on that platform, and we'll try and engage with some of your questions as well. Let's go to Pretoria. We've got Ronald. Hi, Ronald. Good to have you. And thank you very much for giving us a shout. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello. Hello, Shirley, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks. Hi, Ronald.
Yes. I was just wondering, what do you do in the case of a death? My wife died last year from COVID, and the thing has cost my mind because, I mean, I'm just human after all, and it has crossed my mind about, you know, something happening again at some stage. Thing is, I'm not sure how to navigate it. How would I know that the person, let's say, that I had in mind would be the right one? I was married for 30 years, and that's quite a long time to get to know somebody and to, you know, to grow together as a husband and a wife. So, yeah, that's where I am at the moment.
Ronald, wow. Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you very much for that call and that vulnerability. Yeah, Shirley, how does Ronald approach this?
Gosh, how absolutely traumatic. I'm so sorry. So, you know, when you've grown up with someone and you've been together for 30 years, what happens is when you've been with someone and grown up together, you actually... You adapt so much to each other after a long period of time that you almost lose your sense of self, you know, that you struggle to, part of who Ronald is now is probably very much a big part of who his wife was, you know, that's now part. So the idea of moving into a relationship is going to need to happen very slowly. And I would say that the first thing that Ronald needs to do is to really focus on his own healing and recovery from the trauma of losing his wife of 30 years. So, and when I say healing, as in first he needs to figure out who he is now without his wife. So finding his own rhythm, his own routines, you know, figuring out what is it that you like to do to spend time on, Ronald? So what are your hobbies? What are your passions? What are your interests? What are your rhythms? Do you like exercising or not? Do you like to, you know, what makes you feel good? So really figuring out who am I? Who am I now as an independent person on my own? Once you've figured out who you are and you feel ready, and there's a big piece around readiness to reach out and meet somebody new, I would take it very slowly and to build a friendship first. So that would be the first piece is for you is to connecting, reconnecting again deeply with and bonding, because it will be, I imagine, quite unusual to be bonding deeply with women. Mm. And you haven't done that for such a long time.
Sure.
So just start slowly, you know, maybe build friendships with ladies first and just become comfortable with being in the presence of women and then if eventually you can think about and explore it becoming intimate, because it will really need to happen slowly. Otherwise, the image, the presence, sort of like the ghost and the presence of your wife will still be with you for a very long time. So it's kind of going to need to happen very slowly, where you feel like your wife almost gives you her blessing on this new person, that you don't feel that you're having an affair with somebody, you know, that you feel like your wife wants you to move on. So to me, you're looking at around readiness, being ready to connect deeply to another lady that you feel like she would be comfortable with that.
011-883-0702. Yeah, we are inviting you to share with us, confide in us. These are some very difficult conversations. Hopefully these will able to help you as well in trying to find answers and resolving and being able to deal with this challenge of navigating romantic relationships following in this particular time. Actually, a sudden death after being married for 30 years. But it could also be a divorce, could also be just a breakup of a long-term relationship. Diego, you're in Sandton. Good morning. What has been your experience?
So I've been seeing this lady from high school, and we've dated up until 2018, I think about 10 years now. We've been dating, and then we broke up in 2018. But I'm still holding on to her. Like, I can't delete the pictures. I can't move on. Even if I'm seeing other people, I'm still thinking about her. So I find it difficult for me to move on. So I'm not sure if maybe...
Yeah,
you can advise on that.
Yeah, much appreciated. Thank you, Diego, for that. Diego there in Sandton. Shirley, I mean, this is that situation where you still keep pictures, you still keep messages, and so on and so forth.
You know, the irony of that is it's almost like Ronald that called earlier, is that although Diego's ex is still alive, the ghost of her presence is still very present in his life. Like, she's still very present in his life, even though she's not physically with him. And so he has built, it sounds like he has built up this fantasy about his ex, about this, about who she is. So when, to me, I would be exploring, what is it when he says he can't move on? Can't because he's unwilling or unable. So is he unwilling because he still thinks that there's potential for the two of them? And if he still thinks there's potential, then perhaps it's worth exploring that and pursuing it and going for it and letting her know, this is how I feel, this is why I think we still have potential, this is why it didn't work the first time round, this is why I think that we could potentially make it work. So is he not willing to let go because he still thinks there's potential, or is he unable to let go because he has, you know, got this idea, this fantasy in his head about who she is and what she represents? So I would want to know, what does he feel that he would be losing if he was to let it go? I kind of need to have a more of a dialogue with him to understand what the situation is. Yeah.
Right.
What are your thoughts about it?
You know, sometimes what is challenging, I suppose, is the fear of expectation. Expectation can go both ways, right? Expectation can be whether or not I am going to be adequate in the relationship that I'm going in myself, in terms of what I think the other person expects. But the other one is the fact that there is also my own expectation, and I feel that they will not be met, and maybe they were met in the past relationship, and that's what is keeping me from moving on. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yes, absolutely. So you know, these are really important things to consider, and I think that Diego needs to reflect on, what is it that he's afraid to lose if he lets her go and looks to move on? And is it around this inadequacy? Is it around expectation? What is it that's bringing up the fear? So
is that, though, for lack of a better word, a popular thing, a thing that happens quite frequently in people that have been in long-term relationships, you think?
When you talk about a popular thing, what are you referring to?
A thing that happened quite frequently, this fear of moving on, this holding on, because, I mean, of the kind of memory that you accumulate in relationships over a period of time, especially if they're going to be long-term, 30 years or so.
Yes, I think that moving on, when it comes to anything, whether you're moving on from an ex, moving on from a career, moving on it's really around struggling to reach a place of acceptance. So acceptance is coming to terms with what is. And whenever we can't reach a place of acceptance, we experience a lot of suffering. So, for example, and I'm just going to give something that comes to mind with someone that lost a limb. And in a way, in many ways, losing a partner is like losing a limb. So if you lost a leg, for example, okay, and suddenly you have to come to terms with who you are now. So who you are now is not a two-legged, able-bodied person. You are now needing to come to terms with who you are as a one-legged person. And as long as you're dreaming, every time you go to sleep and you're dreaming of yourself as having two legs, and you're dreaming of, and you want to have your two legs, and you insist that your life will be dreadful without two legs, you're going to stay in suffering. You just keep suffering and suffering and suffering because you cannot come to a place of acceptance that I have one leg. I can still make an extraordinary life for myself with one leg. The moment you come to a place of acceptance that I'm okay, I have one leg, I will be fine. It is what it is. I will create a new extraordinary life for myself with my one leg, and I will figure out and navigate what that looks like. But as long as you're holding on to, I need to have two legs in order to live an extraordinary life, you can't move on. So this idea that for some reason you need to have, or Diego or Ronald needs to have their past partners in order to move forward, is you limiting yourself because you're afraid to move forward. You're fearful of coming to a place of acceptance of what is and looking at your future. So it's like looking in the rearview mirror. You're always worried about what's going on behind you versus looking ahead. Focus on the road ahead. Yes, there were things that maybe happened in the past that you could have done differently, should have done differently. There's trauma there, there's pain, there's suffering. You lose a partner or you lose a leg, whatever it is that you've lost, there's loss, there's grieving. So there's a grieving process that needs to happen. Then you reach a place of acceptance. And only after you reach a place of acceptance can you actually start to look forward.
011-883-0702. We're inviting you to share your experience. Are you recently divorced? Maybe divorced a long time ago. Maybe you've broken up from a long-term relationship, or maybe you've lost a long-term partner. What are your challenges? What are you finding as a challenge in finding love again? Do share that with us. Shirley's staying on. She will be helping us with some advice there. 011-883-0702, 0727021702. If you'd like to send us your voice notes, we'll come back to your questions and your calls in a moment.
Relationship issues.
Relationship talk.
On 702.
All right, some of your calls coming through 0727021702 on 011-883-0702. We're still in conversation with Shirley Lewin. She's a counselor and relationship coach. We're talking navigating romantic relationships after a breakup of a long-term relationship, be it a divorce, be it a breakup of just a relationship where you're staying together, or maybe losing a loved one. And lots of those messages coming through. Let's listen to these voice notes.
Good morning, Pratabo Usman, Alifos Loras. No, thank you very much, my brother, for the topic today. It's very healing. I'm one of the people who are going through that. I'm listening. Thank you very much, sir. One day at a time. One day at a time. I think that's the plan. One day at a time. Shapa.
Much appreciated. Thanks, Usman. One day at a time, certainly. So, Shirley, I mean, one of the perceptions about a breakup or about a divorce that certainly seems to come up, and some years ago I was taught how to ride a horse. I went to a horse riding place, and they said to me, when you fall off a horse, the best thing to do is to immediately get up and get back on again. And there are people who have a perception that this is how you approach a breakup or a relationship. Is that a good thing?
Well, I suppose the difference is that riding a horse, the horse doesn't really have a say whether or not it wants you on its back or not, whereas in a relationship, it takes two, you know. So the idea is, for me, that when two people come together, it's like a dance. It's like there's an art to it. So you've got two people wanting to dance with each other. If one person is injured and sore with a broken foot, they're not going to dance very well. So it's not too much fun for the other person who's doing the dancing to be dancing with someone who can't dance very well. Or even if you've got two singers coming together for a duo and one person's voice is broken and crackly because they've just had an infection and their throat is sore, they're not going to sing very well. So it's not going to be too much fun for the other person.
Yeah, no, certainly.
So I think that this idea of, for me, it's around this healing. And you mentioned in the break about the upside of failure. And I think that people, that all of us would really benefit from changing our ideas around failure when it comes to relationship, that relationships end, they don't fail, okay? And when it comes to an end, it's what did you get to honor what you had? So when the duo comes to the end, when the dancers finish their dance, that you enjoyed the dance worked at some point, the singing together was wonderful at some point, And then it stopped working. And just because it stopped working doesn't mean that the whole experience was awful. There were obviously things that worked and things that worked well, and then it stopped working. So it's the time then to say, well, why did it? Get curious. So get curious about why did it stop working? What was it about me or about us or about the dynamics that got us to not working well together, got to us ending the relationship? And then get compassionate as well and say, you know, these things happen. It's not about failure that I'm not good or bad. The moment you bring failure into things, there's this assumption that there was, that you should have been a different way, like versus seeing it as a learning journey. It's a journey. It's an adventure. And the adventure came to an end, but there were highs, there were lows, there were moments that were wonderful, and honor, celebrate, enjoy those moments. And then when the journey ended, that's okay.
Yeah.
So there may be sadness around it. And like I said, take time to heal and recover and honor how you feel, and to go through the grieving process so that you can reach a place of acceptance that journey is ended. And then reconnect with your excitement about the opportunities of the next adventure, the next chapter, the next dance, the next song, or the next duo.
Indeed.
That just because it didn't work with one duo doesn't mean it's never going to work with any other duo, or just because the one dance didn't work that all dancers are awful and you're never going to dance with another dancer again. Do you see how that absolute, when you have that mindset of absolute, it's either all or nothing. It's either working well or it's terrible, you know, versus seeing this as a journey. There are things and elements that work really well, and that's wonderful, and then there's elements that don't.
Now, of course, we're talking perceptions here, so let's go through some of them as well. That some relationships go through traumatic events, or the relationships themselves are a traumatic event. For example, Anonymous saying, here's a question for Shirley. I am now divorced after over 30 years of a very abusive relationship. Why do I find it so hard to move on? 4 years on, I've not moved on. My ex had NPD. So, I mean, the assumption is that it's very easy, maybe in some instances, to get over an abusive relationship, but it's clearly not the case. And there are elements to it that even though it was an abusive relationship for 30 years, you still can't move on. Why?
So, you know, what's coming up for me is this, I don't know if you've ever heard of PTSD, is post-traumatic stress disorder. So when someone experiences some kind of trauma, and I can assure you, if you've been in an abusive relationship, that is traumatic. Okay. So when you've been in, and if there's any kind of violence of any kind, physical violence, verbal, that you're, it's going to create absolute terror in you. So what happens is you associate the terror to your body, not necessarily your mind, but your body will associate terror to that experience. So this lady who's had 30 years of this abusive, I don't know if a male or female, but the terror that's associated with relationship. So there is a need now to untangle and to that relationship does not necessarily equal abuse, that it doesn't always equal trauma and terror and fear and anxiety, and that it's around creating new associations with relationship. So it comes to starting slowly and finding people that have, that are sincerely good, kind, honest, gentle, warm people. And those kinds of people build relationships. So you need to learn to trust that relationships are safe. And obviously this person has learned that relationships are unsafe. And so it's around really finding a way to find safety in relationship. And if I come back to that analogy with the dancing, if you were in a relationship with someone that was always purposefully and intentionally standing on your toe to hurt you every time you danced, you would never want to dance again. You would be terrified to dance again because you would just think everyone wants to stand on my toe and hurt me. You know, but not everyone does. So it's around you building the trust very slowly. First of all, that you want to dance again. And secondly, very gently dance with people that you feel would never do such a thing because they've shown up as kind, sincere, gentle, warm, loving people. And so go where you will find the most safety.
Shirley Lewin staying with us. David in Centurion, I see you. I'm going to take your call in a moment. And I see some voice notes as well, which we're going to take.
Relationship Talk on 702.
With Shirley Lewin, dating coach and counselor, relationship coach, and giving us some advice here on how to navigate romantic relationships after a breakup. 011-883-0702, 0727021702, taking some of your thoughts and questions. Shirley, here's one, says, moving on is in phases. You enjoy others' company. However, to get physical is something else. The old relationship leaves emotional trauma and it takes long to deal with emotional abuse. How do you navigate, that particular space of getting physical? What would be your advice if somebody says, no, I enjoy the company and the company has been great, but I am unable to overcome the fear of becoming physical?
Well, my heart goes out because, you know, a big part of intimate relationships is the physical piece. And so when you have fear and doubt and concerns about the physicality, then you really are getting in your own way. You really are, limiting yourself in the relationship. So how does one get on top of that? So a couple of things come to mind. I would say that the first is to really build a relationship with yourself and your sensuality, your sexuality. You kind of want to start to see yourself again as a sensual and sexual human being and you know, reconnecting with your own eroticism. So some of that is around self-pleasuring, you know, as you can hear, I like analogies. So the analogy that I'm going to use.
No, that's good. It's useful.
Think of your sexuality and your libido similar to your hunger, so our patterns of hunger, it's like a rhythm, you know. So we all have different ways of and relationship with food. And so you may be hungry, and some people are wanting to have eat meals grazing throughout the day. They like to eat often and regularly. Some people are intermittent fasting, happy to eat nothing except for one meal at the end of the day. And some people are looking for convenience food, which is quick and short and let's get it happen. And we just eat to get it done because it's a physical need. I need to eat, so I do it. Some are comfort eating. You know, they want the same meal every day, always, consistently, you know, that they find comfort in particular foods and that it has the same sort of taste and flavor and format. And then you get some people who like gourmet food, who really love the whole ambiance, the lighting, the sound, the experience, the food pairing. You know, they take the whole day planning and preparing and organizing this one meal. So sexuality is similar to that, is that we all have a different relationship with our sexual and sensual selves, and there's no right or wrong in this. So you really need to understand yourself first, and what is your natural rhythm or style, and what do you prefer, what don't you prefer? And the best way to then figure out is what is my libido like? What do I like? How do I please myself? What pleases me? What actually does make me feel desired and desirable? And to reconnect and rebuild that with yourself first, instead of worrying about other people and trying to please them. So if we come back to the food analogy, it's like saying, you don't even know yourself what your own hunger patterns are like, how often you want to eat or when you eat and what you like to eat. But someone else wants to eat with you regularly. And so you just go and eat with them when they say they want to eat because you feel compelled and like that it's a duty or obligation to eat when they want to eat, when actually you don't want to eat. And they can eat by themselves sometimes, and that's okay.
Yeah, certainly. Speaking of misconceptions, Shelley, what are some of the misconceptions that people have about divorcees? Because sometimes, you know, divorcees or those who are coming out of a breakup are ready to get on into new relationships, but, you know, there are suitors who maybe are not particularly sure, have particular misconceptions about divorcees.
So there's always going to be stereotypes out there in the world about everything. Just about, you name me one thing, find one thing that doesn't have a stereotype associated with it. And so there's, you know, the world is filled with memes about just about any topic that you raise. So there's going to be a meme or a stereotype around divorcees. And I would say that you really need to just disconnect from that and to not be focused on what other people have to say. You just show up and be who you are, you know, that each of us needs to connect with our own individuality, who we are, you know, reclaim your power, what it is you want and you're looking for in a partnership. Own your authenticity. This is who I am, you know, like it or leave it, and become, you know, heal your wounds. So coming back to show up as the dancer who's ready to dance again. And so what if you had two or three partners before that didn't dance very well? That actually just makes you more experienced. You now have more experience. You can show up and be a better partner in the dance. Or you've had in your duos, you've sung a few duos, they didn't work out. But now you should have greater clarity about who you are, the quality of your voice or the quality of your dancing. You've had the opportunity to practice and experience. You actually can show up there being more confident, more self-assured, actually, because you've been down this road, you've taken the journey, you've done the adventure a few times. And I would say it's around not being cynical. That perhaps of all the stereotypes would be that you're cynical And so if you do feel that you connect or resonate with cynicism and being skeptical and cynical, I'd say that there's some healing still to be done there. Yeah. Because actually relationship can be amazing and it can be wonderful when you have two quality dancers or two quality singers that show up, and their voices, when you blend the two voices or you put the two dancers together that can dance well or can sing well together, it creates a whole other quality and tone and experience that's extraordinary. It's like 1 + 1 = 3. It's a whole extra dimension and entity that one person alone can't do. But if you're going to show up with a stereotypical sort of, you know, divorced and angry and lonely or whatever it is that the stereotype says, well, then you're only limiting yourself, because I think that people that have had the experience and done the adventure one or two times previously have so much learning that they can actually do it better and better and better.
Yeah, indeed. And with just a minute or so left, Shirley, you have now healed. You're now starting to actively look at dating. Do you make use of services of a dating coach, online dating, singles events, and so on and so forth? You advise that?
I do think that there that what a coach would help you to do is to really raise your self-awareness about who you are, who's going to be a good match for you. Do you have the skills? Have you overcome your fears so that you can have absolute clarity before you go in that you're the best singer or the best dancer that you can possibly be?
Yeah.
So that you can identify when you do meet someone, whether they have potential themselves. So that's where the coach comes in. It really does around you looking at yourself. And that with regard to the online dating, those are venues where you're going to meet single available people. So absolutely use the technology. And if it's available to you, you really want to, you know, cast the net as wide as possible.
Right.
And what's
right.
amazing is online dating will do that. You're not limited to someone in your area. You could meet someone on the other side of the world.
Okay.
So I do think that it can work well.
Let's leave it there for today. Shirley, people are asking, how do they get in touch with you quickly?
So my business is The Relationship Architect Coaching and Consulting. So you can find me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook. I've got a website, TRA Coaching, The Relationship Architect, Shirley Lewin.
Much appreciated, Shirley. Thank you very much, as always, for your time.